Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Camilla, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
Good girl. And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
Good girl. Right, Madeline, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
Good try. And can you say Josh Widdicombe? Well done!
Camilla and Madeline. Three in May.
They're very... I tell you what, they're intimidating names, Camilla. Camilla and Madeline, I'd say, are intimidating, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I'd say Camilla, obviously you're heavily associated with one person, aren't you?
Yeah.
One of those people, actually, that goes by one name, isn't she, really?
Oh, Parker Bowles, yeah, I suppose. Camilla... Do you reckon they call her Cammy? Cam?
No, what, like Chris Kamara?
Yeah. Cammy! No, but if I... What was it? Camilla and Madeline, those girls' names. If I had a job interview or something and they said, right, and you'll be meeting with Camilla and Madeline, I'd be more scared.
Yeah, I'd shit myself. I'd absolutely shit myself.
Oh, God. Hopefully Madeline's a bit nicer than Camilla. But I think maybe that's because Camilla was always, until recently, sort of portrayed as a sort of the bad one after Diana.
Well, what do you mean until recently? Someone hasn't read Spare.
But they're trying to get you back on board with her now, the papers, aren't they? And Meghan's the bad one. That's what
I'm not picking a team. I'm not picking a team.
Oh, you've got no one's team Camilla.
I'm not picking that team. That's just it.
There's no one. Obviously, there's Harry, Meghan versus like William and Charles. No one's just pure team Camilla.
I'm team Prince Edward. He doesn't get a lot. He doesn't get a lot.
Because if you look at the royal family like a fry up,
of course,
you know the egg and bacon and sausage is sort of Charles, Harry, and William. They're the main players. Camilla's like the beans. Like, right, I don't mind them, but some people want them in a separate pot.
Everyone at home wants to know what Andrew is, Rob.
Andrew, I think he's probably the Spam, isn't he? Or the black pudding or the... You know, that thing that you sort of forgot existed and go, oh, God, yeah. And then go, don't tell me how it's made. Don't tell me how it's made. I like the taste, but don't tell me how you make it, what you've done with it. It's what blood... Don't tell you about it. You don't lose well fussy with food.
Right, yeah.
So we went to Barrafina for an anniversary dinner and it's amazing. It's like a tapas place in Soho. Have you been?
Yeah. I think I have, yeah.
Now, Josh, now there's a camera. I've got a camera. I don't know whether to look in the camera or just sort of stare off into the distance.
I've minimised it, Rob, because I can't bear looking at you.
I'm just going to pretend it's not there.
Or more to the point myself.
Anyway, look, the camera's good at it. Anyway, so we had this thing. It was like a mortar sausage or something like that, right? And it was really nice. It was really delicious, quite rich. It was with a bit of egg and a bit of this bread, but they're tiny little tapas portions. Lou absolutely loved it, gobbled it down. And I thought, it tasted a bit like black pudding. I Googled it, and it was dead in Spanish sausage. Oh, so it was like black pudding.
Yeah.
So it was sort of the blood and stuff like that. And when I told Lou what it was, she went and was sick. But she loved it until she was like, oh, that was lovely. Definitely get that next time. It wasn't even like, oh, I'm not sure about this. She was sold. And then she had to come be sick.
Well, it's an extreme. I'm slightly annoyed that I didn't have any oat milk, so I've got normal milk in my tea at the moment. So
really?
it's all relative, Rob.
This is probably a bit disgusting, but have you ever had to do a sick, like a projectile one? Have you ever done one of them?
Yeah, about 4,000 times in my life. Have you met me?
Really? No, but not like a proper, like, I've only a couple of times I've done it. Once I did it off a bridge into a river and it went so far. Because, you know, normally you don't see how far it goes. You just
the trajectory.
Oh, God, it was like, I felt like Tom Brady. I just launched one.
Yeah, surely when you're sick, you've had the Noro, haven't you?
Oh, God, let's not get that
right. That was Camilla and Madeline. Love the podcast, listened since the beginning, and it kept me chuckling through the two under two madness. Can't wait to see you at the O2 on Friday. Lots of love. Fran from Ware in Hertfordshire. That's always a funny place to name, isn't it?
What, Ware?
Yeah.
I don't think they find it funny anymore.
They don't find it funny. No. But we will see you at the O2. We did our first gig, Rob.
Yes.
Our first arena at Manchester.
I think I'm sort of buzzing from the relief that it went well.
I was so happy when I went to bed. I could barely concentrate on my book.
I couldn't go to sleep. I went to sleep at 4, 5 a.m. on Friday. I had a nightmare weekend. Absolutely dreadful.
Tell me about what you did till 4 a.m.
So I went for a drink in the bar, but only left a bit after you. So we went back to the hotel. I probably left the bar about 12:30 and then went up to bed and then was just looking on my phone. But I just was so awake. It was like jet lag awake, but... Yeah. I've got my adrenaline situations out of control. Once when I did a challenge on League of Their Own, I had so much adrenaline, I didn't sleep that night. And I just accepted
it.
But I didn't need to. I weren't laying there tossing and turning going, I'm so tired. I was just like, bright. If you'd said, oh, do you want to go for a walk and go and get breakfast? I'm like, yeah, might as well. Like, I was up for the day.
It was an adrenaline sitch, really, wasn't it? It was such a big room.
Yeah, thank you to everyone that come.
You think that's big, Rob? I went to see Elton John at the O2 last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking, I'm on that stage in 4 days' time.
Well, some people thought you probably were from your new your new look. Special guest, Elton John, every night on the Perrin and Hill tour. Just no Josh. No, but it always looks bigger from the seats than from the stage.
Yeah, it was great. It was. Thank you so much to everyone who came. We had an incredible night. Thank you to Alex Brooker, who was a brilliant guest.
And we have a different celeb surprise guest every show, by the way.
Yeah.
So it
some
was
of
Alex.
Them not as underwhelming as Alex. Only joking. Only joking. Bit of bants.
He absolutely ruined me in front of like 12,000 people when he said...
Yeah, he smashed it.
Well, and I said, welcome our special guest. And he said, why am I special?
Yes.
And then what do you say to that? It was great. But I think the relief was we knew the show worked in theatres because we'd done them in theatres and in little warm-up rooms. You never know until you do it, but it does really work and people loved it. So that was such a relief.
Thank you so
much. I enjoyed it as well. I don't know about you,
Josh. We filmed it, so we're going to try and put some clips out on the socials at some point, aren't we, Rob?
On the social. Yeah, and we're recording this and I've got a proper camera now. We are.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I think we might be the first podcast in history that sold out the O2 and Manchester Arena and then bought a camera. It's very much the opposite of the Stephen Bartlett model.
We're in Nottingham on Wednesday, Cardiff on Thursday. I think there's... I don't know about car. O2 on Friday and Wembley on Sunday.
Yes, yeah, so, like I said, with an arena, there's always normally a few tickets, but there's definitely tickets for Nottingham and Wembley, I think. They're a bit more flexible in returns, I think, the O2 and different venues. So just ring up. How do you ring an arena?
We have genuinely just done the most boring 20 seconds of podcasting we've ever done.
Let's get back to Camilla.
Let's get back
What's
to parenting.
Fergie on the do you reckon Fergie's like halloumi?
Well, she's not part of the full English anymore, is she?
Well, I know, but remember the full English, sometimes the full English gets new, like sourdough for a bit, then you just go back to normal toast. Do you know what I mean? Like, is she the spinach?
You're someone. Well, in East London, the spinach is obviously the first thing that goes in.
Square sausage. Like, I mean, you see her in certain places, like up in Scotland. They still love her up in Scotland. Situation in Scotland off the chain because they've got about four different sausages but different shapes.
I'm not across this because I'm vegetarian, Rob.
Well, so they have square sausage, which is just sausage, but
square.
Yeah. Then they've got like link sausage or something, and they do burnt rolls. Have you seen that? I think we spoke about this before.
No.
But in Scotland, they have rolls that are properly burnt, but everyone loves them. And if you say to a Scottish person they're burnt, they go, "No, they're not." That's how we like them.
They're called burnt rolls.
Yeah, I think so. Google burnt roll Scotland and you'll see them. You must have seen them in the Sainsbury's and the bakeries up in Edinburgh when you did it.
Burnt rolls, Scotland. Never seen that before in my life.
So there's lawn sausage, which is...
Well, that's a burnt roll.
No, but don't upset our Scottish listeners.
Sorry.
We've already only done Edinburgh on the tour.
They're called well-fired rolls.
That's like on Tinder, a well-worn man. He's 65, three wives.
Interesting that you're across I'm really tired this morning, Rob.
I've never seen anyone tap out of a bit of banter quicker.
So tired.
I feel great and I don't know why. I'm like buzzing.
I had
a terrible weekend as well, Josh.
Take me through your terrible weekend.
No,
take
me through your actually, it was quite good. So... The Saturday night home was bad. So we did the gig on, didn't go to sleep till 4 or 5 o'clock. Luckily, I had a 2 p.m. checkout from Manchester.
Yeah.
So I just did nothing all morning and I needed to do nothing. It'd been a very stressful, busy week because Lou's been unwell. So the morning of the Manchester Arena gig, I was supposed to be up and out at 10 a.m. to get up to the train station for the train. So I like to get, I don't want to be there late. And Lou weren't well and it was up all night, unwell. So I had to get up with the kids at like 7 a.m. So I was doing breakfast, still trying to pack my bag, feed the dog and all that. And then I sort of rushed up to Manchester. We did up to Manchester, which was great. Didn't go to sleep till late, but I had a nice morning, Saturday morning. And then I got taken down to Birmingham to do a corporate, like an awards do with Tom Allen, actually. We teamed up, double teamed it.
Yeah.
I'm like the double act man, me. I can't work alone. Insane.
Our generation's Ernie Wise, really, aren't we?
Yeah, and then between you, Tom Allen and Romesh, I'm sort of just a used man. And Lloyd, when I go to the football. Anyway, did this gig. The gig was for Quick Fit, right?
Yeah.
Drove home, obviously. Gave out 15 awards for the best tyres. Tyre blue out on the way home. 1 a.m. on the M1.
Come on now, come on
now. Tyre burst on the motorway.
What happens when a tyre bursts on the motorway?
Weird noises, panic, smell of burning.
And do you, can you pull in or is your car...
Well, that's the big sort of controversy at the moment, Josh, with these smart motorways, where the smart motorways basically used a hard... There's no hard shoulder, but there wasn't a hard shoulder straight away. You have to sort of drive for a bit and then pull in.
We
pulled in. So it was on the side of a motorway for about an hour. Then we managed to hitch a lift in a tow truck to Newport Pagnell Services, which is exciting. It was like something from a comedy film. Like it was
John Candy.
Well, there was this family that had broke down on their way back from Liverpool, and they'd organised the pickup person. And so the truck was massive, though. So I said to the guy, "Can we jump in for a lift? Can we bunk in?" He went, "You'll have to ask these people because it's their lift." So he said, "Please, can we get in the back in your truck?" And I went, "Are you off the telly?" I went, "Yes, I am. What do you need? What do you need? Tickets, photo? You want Tom Allen to do a voice recording for your answer phone? What do you need?"
Tom Allen as well.
Yeah, me and Tom Allen stood there. I was eating a Scotch egg. And so it's me and Tom Allen stood on the side of a motorway, and then they let us get in their truck. We got in their truck for a bit.
Is he fully suited and booted at this point? Or
we both are. We've just had a corporate. We jumped straight in the car.
So you haven't even turned back into your tracksuit that you normally travel in?
No. Full suit, like we've just been to a wedding. Stood there with our bags. The bloke who was driving us had to stay with his car to wait for the pickup. We got to Newport Pagnell southbound. So we ended up at Newport Pagnell Services about 2:30 a.m. Then we got picked up by another car, driven back, got stuck on the Dartford Crossing for an hour.
So what time? Like 4 a.m. or something?
Got in about 4 a.m. Woke up the kids, obviously, at 4 a.m. because I came in. And it's sort of near stirring time, isn't it?
Oh,
so Lou was loving that. So I had to sit with the kids.
So they were up?
Well, yeah, well, they would have been, but I was like, no, it's bedtime. Just go back to sleep. Yeah, and then, so then I got to sleep about 4 or 5 a.m.
Oh, my God.
I know. Yeah, then I did Radio 2. I'll take a bit of a low-energy show.
So you haven't been to bed before 5 a.m. two nights in a row, but not because you're hardcore.
No.
Because you had too much adrenaline one night and you were stuck at Newport Pagnell the other night.
Yeah, and then last night I came home and I was obviously tired, but then when I tried to get into bed at like 10 p.m., I was like, this is 7 hours earlier than normal for the last two nights. I could do a full work. I didn't know what to do. So I jet-lagged myself just going to Manchester.
Oh, my God, you've changed your body clock.
I know, but I feel good, though. But I feel, do you know what, though? I think I was carrying stress about the shows.
Yeah.
Because it was an unknown quantity. You know, we knew the show worked.
We'd been told also that arenas weren't... It was going to be like underwhelming once you got in an arena compared to the experience of gigging in a theatre. That's the general gist.
But I didn't feel that.
It didn't feel that at all. I was so pleasantly surprised. Maybe our theatre gigs have been shit, Rob.
Maybe you're just an arena comic, Josh. You're only getting the best out of stuff
arena
now.
Comic. Who knew? Who knew that those venues were built for me?
I think, though, we go into the crowd and have a chat with people and stuff. Oh, yeah. So that makes it more intimate. But anyway, let's stop.
It was really fun.
It was really fun. We were chatting about it. We're just so grateful to everyone that bought a ticket and the support. Yeah. And also not just at the gigs, all the support online. Whenever we post stuff, everyone's so, you know, we know... We get lovely messages all the time about people that listen and, you know, especially during lockdown and in whatever way it's helped and stuff like that. But I don't think you can underestimate how much it's helped us being able to do this every week. And the stuff that we've both opened up about and been honest about, I think has really benefited us. So thank you for allowing us to be able to do this and listen and supporting us. We do appreciate it.
The person that DM'd me and said, Josh, you know you've got ADHD, don't you? Was quite an attacking message. Nothing wrong with having ADHD, obviously.
I know. But I don't think we need to be diagnosed.
I had to do an online test, Rob. I couldn't less have ADHD, if anything.
Yeah, I don't think you've got ADHD. I think it's an anxiety disorder, isn't it? I think that's what they call it.
But thank you for that message. Much appreciated. Now, I started teaching my daughter to ride a bike this weekend, yesterday.
How did it go?
So I watched a video on YouTube called Teach Someone to Ride a Bike in 45 Minutes.
Someone, surely a child.
Teach a child. No, because some adults can't. What's it called? I can't remember.
If you're an adult trying to learn to ride a bike, I think you
don't
just
want someone running along with their hands under your armpits.
No, I think you go down the park, maybe on a winter's day when it's a bit quieter, and you just have a little go on the grass, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't think you want a bloke.
Yeah, it does say teach your child to ride in 45 minutes. So, because we'd bumped into, not bumped into, we went to the park with her friend on Saturday.
Yep.
And her friend's been learning. And so her friend was at the point where she was just nailing it.
Right.
So that made my daughter go, now is the time.
Yeah, seeing is believing, Josh.
Exactly. But it was difficult because her friend had obviously been doing it for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
On and off. So instantly you're trying to communicate to your five-year-old, it's not going to be like that. You're going to have to do some hard graft here.
Right, okay.
Do you know what I mean? I didn't use the word hard
graft. So you're a bit of a truth parent.
No, I think it's better approaching to go, you're not just going to be able to ride a bike. It's going to be, it takes lots of practice.
Right. I would go in a different way.
What? You're going to get it first time, and if you don't, you're a failure?
No, not that. That I don't agree with, but I'm like, it's difficult, but we're going to do it. But I feel like you're not inspiring me. If you're a manager in the dressing room.
You're going to get there. You're going to get there.
Yeah. I feel like you've told me I can't, and it's too hard, Josh. I just want to ride a bike, Dad. Now.
So I just want to keep expectations low.
Get me going. Come on. Come on. Do my management on me. Josh.
Well, Rose was there as well. So she started. The thing is with my daughter is if she's good at something, she fucking loves doing it. So she'll do it loads. Like drawing. She loves drawing, right? Mm. She's good at drawing and she loves it. And she likes doing her phonics and all that kind of stuff because she can do it. What she doesn't like is that initial period where she's bad at stuff.
Yeah, no one likes that though.
Well, Rose herself said this is a real trait of Rose's. Rose pointed this out herself, so I'm not speaking out of turn here.
Yeah, no worries.
Rose doesn't like being bad at something. She'd rather not do it than
so
be
what,
bad
what
at it.
So what kind of stuff does Rose do and she likes? And then what other stuff she'd be like, oh, can you do that? That's not my thing.
She likes physical activity.
Right.
She's good at yoga. She's good at weightlifting and gym stuff. Yeah. She's good at interior design. She's good at et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to go through all her good qualities.
Yeah, but she's a bit of an athlete and she's got a good eye for colour and detail.
Exactly.
And
she likes, fashion, et cetera, right?
Sure.
She won't play a board game because she doesn't. She doesn't want to play a board game.
See, Lou likes board games. But what? Lou likes board games and loves Scrabble, but refuses to play me because I beat her and she can't understand how.
What, you beat Lou at Scrabble?
Yeah.
I'm not having that, Rob.
I do.
No.
And Lou can't work it out and either. No one can.
That is unbelievable.
I can't spell, Josh, but I don't know how. But I just sort of get a feeling for it. It's like a gut instinct.
Just get a bunch down letters and it turns into a word. Are you good, Will Hunting?
I'm a believer, Josh. I'm a dreamer.
So anyway, we know this about my daughter. She doesn't like that initial phase of being bad at something, but once she gets the hang of it. So I'd say 2 minutes in, I thought, she's never going to ride a bike here because she's already furious at us because she can't do it straight off the bat. And then Rose gave her a kind of really good pep talk, better than the one I just gave, unbelievably.
Yeah. Well, no, I think your messaging was right, that this is going to take a time, but it felt a bit low energy, but I imagine you'd probably be more high energy with her. You wouldn't go, look, this is hard work. It's going to take time. You're not going to get it straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that doesn't inspire me to ride.
Basically, Rose went off with our son. Yeah. And she did more or less get the hang of it, Rob.
So from watching the video?
No, she didn't watch the video. The video.
No, but but the tips you got from... Watch that, see in an hour.
Yeah. The tips I got...
Yeah, what are they?
Big tip.
Know.
Big tip, hand under the armpits and side of the body rather than on the handlebars, because the handlebars, that won't teach them to balance.
So don't hold the handlebars.
Don't hold the handlebars, hold the child. Hold the child.
Right, I was holding the seat, so I did that.
Right, yeah, well, maybe that's closer to the child than the handlebars. You're steering for them, so they're not learning how that works.
I've never known anyone to start from the handles, have you?
No, but I've got the tip now, but I'm just passing it on.
I'm just saying that, you know.
Yeah,
Also, don't spit in your child's face. It will put them off.
Well, do if they keep keep failing, because they need to. It's carrot and stick. It's carrot
just
and stick.
Pedal and stay straight. So for, hold the child rather than the front. Yeah.
Let them pedal and let them use, like, try and get the momentum
from
them.
Who's this lunatic pedaling for them?
No, if they're. Some children can't get the pedaling right. Don't push them along if they can't get the pedaling right, because they're not going to learn to pedal.
Sure.
Yeah. Can't remember the other tips, but it was fine.
Oh, do you know what? It's a great source of advice, this show.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, do watch the video, because it gave me confidence to teach it. Anyway, we were just running up and down the park.
Yeah.
It's fucking knackering, Rob.
Yeah, the back goes.
I'm going again today, and I'm going to wear my shorts and a t-shirt and some trainers.
Yeah, I had to wear gym clothes for it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wear my PE kit, because there's no way that I'm...
in a pair of jeans, Converse, slapping on the floor.
I know, that was the worst. It smelt like, do you know when, like, it was... I can't remember the last time I did exercise in normal clothes.
Like, it's maybe horrible.
It's like when you play football in your school uniform. Yeah. It was that kind of feeling.
And then you just sat in history going, oh, what is that?
Yeah, go fucking hell, I stink because I've been running around in my clothes.
Your livery shoes.
Yeah, it was awful. Oh. I was absolutely... And you're hunched over. You're running like, you know, Mrs. Overall. Oh, you probably won't. Mrs. Overall from Acorn Antiques. Like that kind of bent over.
What's that? Acorn Antiques?
It was a Victoria Wood and Julie Walters sketch.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, you're running hunched over. People at home will be loving that reference, Rob, but it's really tough on the core and on your thighs, because you're having to maintain a kind of
hunch.
Almost like, you know, that thing where you sit up against a wall, that kind of thing. I was so glad when we finished.
And like she was doing it on her own then,
because she got good then. She could do about, her record was about 10 seconds with me running with my arms kind of floating around her, but not touching her.
Yeah, it's just a confidence thing, isn't it? After, there's no rush. But yeah, that's good though. For the first attempt, I think that's really good. See,
yeah,
I was
really
teaching
good.
Two at once.
Yeah, that's a fucking nightmare, Rob. That's
and then
a shocker.
One on the other side is that. But I was quite lucky actually, though, really, that the youngest could still do it.
Oh, that was the other tip. There's a kind of sweet spot for teaching them.
Right.
Which is kind of 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when they hit 6, it gets a bit more difficult because they've got more of a sense of fear of what could go wrong.
100%.
Which I thought was an interesting tip. So if your child's 7 and they haven't learned, too late, give it up.
Well, no. Well, I taught my daughter when she was 6 and a half, probably, and 6, 6 and a half, and then my youngest was 4, 4 and a half. So, she was fine. She picked it up really quickly, but it is that confidence thing. But they get it over time. It's just it's just hard because it's always miserable weather or cold. Or so once they learn it, it's like,
I would have killed for some rain, Rob. I was in the fucking blazing heat, running forward and back in my fucking chinos.
Well, this is the perfect time to do it, because then by the summer they'll be nailed it, and then they'll remember it over winter.
It was the summer, Rob. It felt like the summer. It was awful. It was so hot.
You don't like the heat though, do you?
No, I'm not. I'm a cold-blooded animal. I'm Nordic or whatever I am. I don't know what I am.
Talking about cold-blooded, in my office, right, I've got like a little like air conditioning unit thing that does hot and cold. So obviously in the winter, I have it on warm, and, you know, but it's because it's turning now, and there's a lot of glass windows. It gets really hot in here. So I was like, oh, I'll put the aircon on. But I don't understand temperature. Where I've got a button, and it basically, if I have it on 20 degrees, right?
Yeah.
There's a button that can be 20 degrees cold or 20 degrees heat. So I change what mode it is. So at the moment it's on like 20 degrees and it's quite chilly in here because it's got the cold logo. But if I press it to the hot logo, it'll get hot, but the number won't go up. So how can one temperature be cold?
They must be different. No, there's not two 20 degrees. There's not a warm one and a cold one.
That's what I was.
Is one Celsius and one centigrade or whatever?
The temperature.
Which is the difference? Is Celsius Fahrenheit?
Let's not get bogged down by that. At the moment, it's got 20 degrees Celsius and it's cold. Yeah. But if I press a button to the little sunny heat one, it'll get hot in here, but that number won't go up. So how does that work?
Well, it doesn't, Rob. You've bought something dodgy there.
Well, no, that's what's happening, though.
No, it's not. You're not getting different 20 degrees. Well, it's not. It can't be. There's not two different 20 degrees, one that's warm, one that's cold, surely.
Well, you come round here.
Can you come round here and I'll show you two different 20
you
degrees?
You come round here in your shorts, mate, and you'll find out. I don't understand how it's happening.
I don't know. No, it can't be. There's not two different 20 degrees. There's not a warm one and a cold one.
Well, I'm Googling, how can 20 degrees be hot and cold with aircon?
Well, don't Google that because there's no answer to that, surely.
Yeah.
Lou, listening to this, going, this guy beats me at fucking Scrabble.
God, look, all I know is if I press that button, I'll start getting hot. Okay. And the 20 don't change.
Get yourself a thermometer.
Yeah.
Right? One of those ones that we used to use in, like, science.
Right. Right, here we go. Why is 25 degrees heat mode hotter than 25 degrees cold mode? So there's a forum about this.
Right, okay.
Right. Oh, it's one of them Quora ones where you have to, like, sign in. Can't I just fucking read something about signing in? No, I don't want to tell you the things I fucking like.
Do you want to know about signing in, Rob? I did a whole bloody quiz to check whether I had ADHD earlier this week. And then at the end, I had to pay for the answer. Surely that's unfair.
Follow five more topics to continue. Who's following an air conditioning topic? Fuck it, little physics, weather, temperature, done. So, right. Simple answer is, here we go. The heating mode has a higher humidity and cooling has a lower humidity. So a room thermometer would read what the temperature is, not what it feels like. Humidity plays a huge role in hot or cold. Now, it's like how you read temperature from weather websites and apps. It says 24. Well, I'm not sure about this. This person spelt weather, W-E-T-H-E-R. And I'm no Scrabble king.
But
I think if you can't spell weather, I don't care about your views on temperature.
That's interesting. It's about humidity, yeah. Well, it's like wind chill as well. I don't know what fucking hell.
Have you ever read Windburn?
Yeah, it's awful.
It's horrible. Your face is so red and hot and it's just come from the wind. And all you say all day is, but it was cloudy.
I burn like... Rose makes me put sun cream on every day of the year, Rob.
Makes you put it on?
She says I should put it on every day of the year.
Why?
Because you're always absorbing sun, so it's better for the skin, apparently. But also, right. I burn like a crisp. Anyway.
Yeah, you're putting sun cream on when it snows.
No, I'm not, because I don't do it, Rob. She tells me to do it. But I'm so busy that I barely wash my face in the morning. I have a shower twice a week at the moment.
You don't?
No. All right, once. Imagine. No, I have a shower 5 days a week.
Well done. I don't shower before exercise.
No, people who do that are fucking mental.
Too much time on their hands.
Imagine getting up, having a shower, and then going to the gym. Are you insane? How much time do people have on their hands? We had a couple come round to our house yesterday.
Sounds like you ate them. Carry on. As soon as you said the venom in your voice, we had a couple come round the other day.
No, our good friends, no kids.
Yeah, but you resent them.
They're Sunday, mate. They're Sunday.
Go on, talk me for it. How old are they?
42 and 35, something like that. They're Sunday. They just got up late, had breakfast, and then they came to East London just to give me my birthday present, something to do.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, lovely. But imagine having the... Then they were meeting their friends for lunch, and then they were going to buy T-shirts.
Buy T-shirts. Going to buy T-shirts as a main trip out of the day. I mean...
Imagine it, Rob. Imagine it.
Well, when was the last time you went out to buy a T-shirt? I don't think I have time to even look for a T-shirt on. I basically wear what I find. Or if I'm out and I'm like at the shops and I see a T-shirt on the side, I think I'll get that because I will need it at some point.
Yeah.
Shopping for T-shirts. Where's they going to shop? Where are they going for T-shirts?
Soho.
Too much
London's
money.
Happening Soho.
Too much money, too much time. I'm just going to pop to Soho to buy T-shirts. Who the fuck are you?
Someone, Rob, who is, you know, enjoying their weekends. Someone who isn't running up and down in the park at 45-degree angles, sweating, chasing a bike.
So I on that on Sunday, I had to go and do Radio 2, right, when I was tired. So I got in like 4 or 5 from the breakdown trip. And Lou rushed out the house with the kids. She was going to her granddad's 90th birthday party or something, right? Yeah. And then rushed out, and then she was like, oh, yeah, but you've got, before you go, I've not walked Fred. You've got to walk Fred, right? I walked Fred before I left to go to work. I have never been more asleep walking in my life. I remember nothing. I walked that dog. I remember nothing of it. If the police, if there was a crime and the police said, where were you? I'd go, don't know. Ask the dog. I've got no idea where I was, what I was wearing. I was wearing the clothes next to my bed. And I think some of them were sport clothes. Some of them were, you know, the big baggy shorts that you can't wear out.
Yeah,
you just wear indoors. I walked that dog and I was just like, what the fuck is going on here? I was so dazed and confused. The thought of just nipping up to Soho to buy some T-shirts.
Do you know how busy my life is, Rob? Right. And this is, I reckon I'm the only person who in the same week they played the O2 found the beginnings of moss on their car.
Yeah.
I haven't cleaned the car so long. I'll send you a photo. I haven't cleaned the car so long, right? And I've been meaning to for so long that there's now...
It's hard to clean a car when you haven't got a drive. And it's like taking a bucket down the street.
Yeah.
No hose won't breach.
But Rob,
are you not doing it yourself?
I go to the guys where you drive through.
All right.
And it's brilliant. And it's a great
it's
trip.
It's brilliant.
And it is. You just sit there and you get washed in the car and it feels all cozy and you're in the car and you're dry and they're spraying you and it's fucking brilliant.
Well, do you know why that's got moss? Is because they don't wash the car with the windows down. So that has never been cleaned.
No, it's only just started, that moss. They haven't washed the car in 6 months, Rob.
Talking of cars, you know, we've got that electric car.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so Lou drove around a mate's house. Did I tell you about this the other week?
No.
So it was a Friday. I'd been doing, she kept on ringing me when we were interviewing someone that last Friday. I can't remember it. Jim Jefferies interview. That's going to be out soon. Anyway, she's ringing me. I'm like, I can't. I'm, you know, interviewing someone here. I answer. She goes, the car's not working. It just won't turn on. It's completely dead, completely flat. I'm like, well, did you charge the car? She went, yes, I did charge the car. I went, okay. Anyway, let me come round. So I drove round, went there, and nothing was happening. We managed to find a button to get the boot open. There was no electrics on it whatsoever. Plugged it in to our friend, because she's at a friend's house. She's been there all day with the kids, and now it's like 8, 9 o'clock. I'm trying to charge the car. Nothing's flickering. We message the AA. They go, someone will be there in an hour. Anyway, Lou takes the girls home. I'm waiting now at our friends from school's house for an hour. And I look on the little, you know, they give you a little tracker sometimes of where the car is.
Yeah.
The little tracker's gone. It's in Jersey, apparently.
What?
The AA man in Jersey.
What? Like,
what is going on here? Anyway, I see it countdown and it's obviously Easter break. Everyone's trying to get away. I'm like, sending a truck from Jersey. After an hour, when they're supposed to be here, nothing, right? So I ring up.
Of course, because they're in fucking Jersey, Rob.
Exactly. I went, what's going on? He went, oh, yeah, it's a 4-hour delay. I was like, well, why didn't you tell me that on the app? What's the point? And he went, oh, sorry, we're really busy. I went, well, the little car is in Jersey. He goes, oh, yeah, basically, it goes to Jersey or an island off of Scotland if you haven't been allocated anyone yet.
Oh, right. I was like, so he's not in Jersey.
Don't tell me an hour then, mate. Don't tell me an hour. Anyway, he went, oh, really sorry. But then he went, I can schedule in for tomorrow morning, right? So he's, I've got Easter off. I've been working nonstop before and we're working arena tour after. So it's quite busy either side.
Yeah.
He went, yeah, so I can schedule in tomorrow, 7:30 a.m. I was like, okay, brilliant. That's my Easter lion gone. I was like, yeah, no, not a problem. Don't worry about it. Yeah, that's fine. I've been looking forward to this day for ages, Josh. Right? And the girls aren't in school, so there's no getting up for school. Now I'm up at 7 driving. So then I'm like, right,
driving to an electric car that can't move.
Yeah, exactly. And it's to our friends. And then I'm like, and I message was going, do not let me in. Don't stay, have a lie-in.
Let me in. Why is it the Birch?
No, because it's on their drive. So I'm like, I'm not saying don't let me in, like don't be polite and go coming for a coffee.
Right, okay. Just don't,
it's like
whatever happens, don't let me in.
I've just lost the plot. Don't let me in.
Everyone's attacking me and I'm asking, begging to come inside, don't let me in.
If I get bit by a zombie, just shoot me in the head, all right? No, but I said, don't be polite and go come in for a coffee. When I'll drive there and sit in my car, wait for the AA guy, right? Anyway, so I'm starting stirring. I'm not sleeping because I'm panicking about missing the AA man now. Yeah. You know when you've got to be up early? I just can't sleep if I've got to be up early.
When you got there, were they up? Could you see them going about their day in the house and you were outside or was their house dead to the world?
Before that, I look at my phone. Lou sends me the link. I click on it. You know the one that was in Jersey before?
Yeah.
I look at it at like 7:15, knowing that I've got to be up because it's about 20, 15-minute drive to our friend. Look at it. The AA man is outside my house.
At least he got a lift.
I look out the window, I see him drive past. I'm like, at least it's accurate, this app. Because he's got to drive past my house to get to it. So now I'm in a police chase. Because he's going to get there and knock on the door, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Be like,
so, I know I'll get up.
They've been fully briefed.
Get up, it's early morning, you know, morning glory. I'm fully erect in a pair of shorts and a jumper.
We don't need that, Rob.
I'm in a rush and I've got...
Yeah, and that turns you on.
No, but sometimes people wake up with a boner, don't they?
The thrill of the chase.
No. I wake up every morning with an erection. That's normal, isn't it?
I normally think it's related to when you need a piss, isn't it? Because I think the erection with sleep is...
But the fact that I'm going to have children in the background.
Yeah, that's bad, isn't it?
That either way, whether it's because I need a piss or not, I'm up, clothes on, I'm in the car, and I'm still hard. And I'm like, fingers crossed that dies down before I leave my life.
Yeah.
Anyway, and it did. So now I'm driving, and then I ring the bloke on hands free. Both hands are on my dick at this time. So, that's calmed down. That's gone now. I'm fully flaccid. Drive along. Right, ring the geezer. Yeah,
we don't need to go back to the dick at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm driving now. I ring the geezer. Went, don't ring the doorbell. It's at a friend's house. And he went, okay, cool. So I thought that's fine. All sorted. Get there. Guy gets out. It's 7:10 a.m. Good Friday. And he's like, what's the problem? I go, completely.
It's 7:10 a.m. Good Friday. That's the first problem, mate.
What's
I'm stood here outside a house with a boner and they won't let me in.
Don't let me in, okay?
I've got a boner.
He goes, what's the problem? I go, right, I went, it had 80% battery, but it's completely dead, not a flicker, nothing works on it. Then I press the unlock button, car unlocks.
Oh no.
Car starts.
Oh my God. So what's the problem?
Me, I think.
But why has that happened?
So basically, I went, I don't know what's going on here. And he went, let me have a look. So I popped the bonnet. And basically, this is interesting, actually, if you've got an electric car.
Okay, so I'll tune out of this
bit. So electric cars.
I'd say as a sentence, this is interesting if you've got an electric car, is the least exciting way to lead into an anecdote that I've ever heard.
If you've got an electric car and you don't want to end up with an erection at your friend's house with the AA man at 7 a.m, you might want to listen to this. Okay. So the electric car has a 48-volt battery or bigger if you've got a bigger car.
Jesus,
but a big battery. A 48-volt battery that runs the engine. Okay. It also has a 12-volt battery that runs all the electrics like a traditional car battery. You've probably got a 12-volt battery in your little MOS machine. Okay. So basically, if the electrics aren't working, like the door and all that, that means a 12-volt's not working, not the other. So you know what the problem is. So he knew straight away that it was a 12-volt one, went there, and basically it was just loose, Josh, the connector.
Oh.
It was the equivalent of a battery being slightly out in the back of your remote control.
Right.
So he just tightened it.
Could you have done that yourself? Like if this happens again?
Absolutely. Could have done it myself. And I know for future now. But also, anyone that's got an electric car and it's not turning on, this is a Honda E, so I don't know what it's like with other electric cars though. Just had to tighten up the actual traditional 12-volt battery and it would have been fine. But it was kept on doing this, but it was getting longer and longer because it was getting looser and looser as time went on.
The thing I want to know is he goes, and do your friends let you in then? Or did you just drive off?
No, so they sort of opened the door. Hello, Rob, you all right? Do you want a cup of tea? No.
What did I tell you?
What did I tell you? Absolutely not. I need from the state of me, I need a cold shower. That's what I need. Also, though, when I got there as well, I was in such a panic, so I'm not very good in the morning, that I tried to lock my car and the alarm went off. That woke up everyone down the street.
Oh, woke them all up.
I know. And then I had to drive the electric car back and the AA man followed me. Then I jumped in his van and he drove me back up to pick up my car, then I drove that back. And then later on, we went out for a pub lunch with Lou and the girls, and I went back that way. I'd been on that road 8 times that day by 2 p.m. on my day off.
What on your day off?
Good Friday.
What a life.
Oh, it's another thing. This also, if you're listening with kids, don't listen now.
Okay.
But, you know, Easter?
Yeah.
Easter Bunny?
Yeah. Warning. Turn off now.
Yeah. So the Easter Bunny?
Yeah.
My kids think Easter Bunny is like, you know, is a thing.
Yeah.
That actually comes and brings chocolates. I didn't think they believed. I thought...
You didn't? You were like, fucking come on, mate.
Yeah, I didn't think they were into that. I didn't think they believed that. Like it was. They just was like, you know, like different times of the year. You know, there's like a snowman at Christmas.
I buy kids believing in Father Christmas and the Tooth Fairy. I'm always a bit like, come on now.
Yeah, borderline, but fair enough. But Easter Bunny's insane.
Yeah, Easter Bunny, fuck off.
There's no backstory. Well, like Santa, there's a Lapland, elves,
yeah,
magic, Rudolph. With Bunny, it's like, it's not a fucking rabbit.
Yeah, what is this? It's barely mentioned. And then it's just a way of, like, so we did a Easter egg hunt. So we got up and we hadn't done the hunt yet.
Yeah.
And then my daughter was like, so last year I did an Easter egg hunt where I drew the different places and they went from one to the other.
Yeah.
Really good. Really good stuff. Oh, I'll talk to you about drawing again in a minute, Rob, if you're interested.
Oh, absolutely.
Really good stuff. So I drew the things. And then this year she was like, are we going to do another Easter egg hunt? And I was like, yeah, the Easter Bunny will draw the things. And she was like, but you drew them last year. And I was like, what? And then she went, you told me. And I was like, when did I fucking tell her? I don't know. I don't know if she was playing a trick on me. She's trying to get it out of me. Anyway, this year she was like, I want the Easter Bunny to do my hunt. So we'll all have to go upstairs and then Mummy and, this is her saying it, not me, Bumbo, which is what she calls her gran, her Rose's mum.
Bumbo?
Bumbo.
Why Bumbo?
Because Rose calls her Mumbo and it just, she could only say Bumbo when she started. So it's one of those things that stuck.
What's the rules on this? Do you refer to her as Bumbo or do you just say her name?
I call her Sam.
So, but what about if you say, Sam's coming to look after you today?
No, I'd say Bumbo's coming.
Right, but you call her Sam to her face, but you refer to her as Bumbo.
Yeah, it'd be weird if I called her Bumbo.
Hey, Bumbo.
Yeah, it feels like, my skin's crawling at that, Rob.
Okay, fair enough. But you refer to her as Bumbo, Sam to her face.
Yeah.
Bit like my father-in-law, he's called Amps, but I forget. Because so I'll be like, Granddad Ampy, whatever you call him's coming. Lou's dad. But I sort of forget because then they've still got their great granddad who's called like Great Ampy. I'm like, I don't know. I can't keep up all these names.
This is a good one for emails. What are the weirdest family names that your kids call people?
It's normally grandparents, isn't it?
It
can be cousins and uncles as well. But if there's weird names for grandparents, especially, let us know. So we've got Bumbo and Amps and Ampy.
Yeah. I call my grandma by first name, Gin. Virginia.
Gin. Right.
Ginny, Gin.
Anyway, sorry, go on, Easter Bunny.
Yeah, so we all had to go upstairs while Bumbo and Mummy, as she called them, tidied downstairs. Obviously, they're putting out the Easter Bunny. Yeah. Obviously,
yeah, but I absolutely didn't think they believed.
No, I didn't either. I just didn't think they did.
My daughters were like, oh, so where's Easter Bunny? They were going, oh, I'm scared. I don't want to go to bed. I'm scared. I'm like, why? Because Easter Bunny's going to come. I don't want the bunny to come into my room. Can the bunny leave him downstairs? He was like, if you want.
Whatever.
But, yeah, I think she'd left him in my boot in an Aldi carrier bag, actually. Which is handy if you don't want her in the room.
I can tell you 100% the Easter Bunny won't be in your room tonight. I can tell you that.
Do not even waste a second of worry on the Easter Bunny creeping around.
Yeah.
Right. Should we do small business shout out? Oh no, drawing.
I was going to tell you about drawing. Do you want me to tell you about drawing?
Or do you want to tell me on Friday?
Why don't I bloody tell you on Friday, Rob?
We're such teasers. We're learning the trade. Tease them to the next step.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you might need more. I don't know if this is going to be like someone's going to be on Thursday going, fucking hell, I've got to get home because tomorrow night's the big drawing anecdote. Is there anything?
Well, I'll just tell you, Rob, that I'm broadening my horizons. I'm learning a new skill.
Oh, I like this. Okay.
Drawing. Anyway, I've given it away, but all the evidence was there. That's the problem.
You're learning to draw.
Let's save it for fucking Friday, Rob.
All right, okay, so small business shout-out. Here we go. I've got one here. Here we go.
Okay.
Hi, Rob and Josh. I'd love it if you could give a small business shout out for my sister who left the corporate world a few months ago to start a full-time business called Grazy Pickle, spelled G-R-A-Z-E-Y, Pickle, P-I-C-K-L-E. They create the most amazing and Instagrammable grazing-style boards and tables, including charcuterie, cheese, Mediterranean-inspired delicacies, and everything in between for all occasions. Everything is made from scratch and they really are a work of art. The business is based in Bromley, big up Southeast London, and they cover all areas of London. Their Instagram handle is at Grazy Pickle, G-R-A-Z-E-Y, Pickle. Thank you so much. They actually look pretty good, this. Have you seen it? I think you'd love this, Josh.
Okay.
I think it could be quite East London.
Oh, keep talking.
Look at Grazy Pickle.
Hi, Rob and Josh. Thanks for all the hours of belly laughs. What?
You're not looking at Grazy Pickle?
I'll be honest, I wasn't listening. How are you spelling Grazy? Like crazy?
G-R-A-Z-E-Y. Did you listen to anything I said in that small business shout?
I was looking for my own one. I was followed by Rob Beckett Comedy.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah,
you're not slow about chucking someone a follow, are you? You've only been known about them for a minute.
I try and do that with the small businesses because I engage with it, Josh. I don't just switch off.
I didn't switch off. I was switching on to my own small business. Oh, this does look good. Try them a follow. They're not following us. They're following you, but not me. Unfollow.
Look, let's be honest, Josh. There's people that listen to this because of you, and there's people that listen to this because of me, and they put up with both of us.
Yeah, but I'd have had Grazy Pickle, the cheese and charcuterie grazing boxes, down as Widdicombe fans, 100%.
Yeah, true, to be fair. Oh, dear. Anyway, go.
Hi, Rob and Josh. Thanks for all the hours of belly laughs. I'd really appreciate a small business shout-out for my little swim school, Kimberley Swim Clinics. I hope your kids are still progressing well with their swimming. We're London-based, so get them booked in with us to hone their skills. It's too far for me. We offer intensive swim clinics to Southwest London for children aged 3 and over. Too far. But if you do live in Southwest London, it's perfect.
If you could guarantee me an Olympic medal, I still wouldn't drive them to Southwest London.
SW17, that's Tooting / Wandsworth Common area for school holidays.
Too far, but if you're local, get involved.
Our group sizes are small. Maximum of 4 swimmers per teacher. All our teachers are passionate about ensuring children have a great experience in the water and are invested in their progress. Our clinics are running Tuesday, the 30th of May, to Friday, the 2nd of June, summer half term. Find out more at Kimberley, K-I-M-B-E-R-L-E-Y, swimclinics.co.uk. Sign up for our mailing list to get info on how to book. Also, I follow one of you on Instagram. Thank you, Kimberley.
Good stuff. Right,
good stuff.
I'll see you Friday. To talk about your new skill that's drawing.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Cool.
Did I just yawn my way out of the episode there?
Yeah, are you aware of what's happening?
I'm just tired, Rob. I'm really tired.
Why are you tired?
Genuinely, that gig took it out of me so much that I've been a zombie all weekend.
Well, that's encouraging that we've got 4 gigs in a row coming up.
No, but it's because it was the first one. I left it all out there, but now I'm rebuilding.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Cool. All right, then. See you on Friday.
Bye.